It's 10:06. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson, in for Kathleen Dunn this week. Well, this coming Sunday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Wisconsin Public Radio will feature the work of four up-and-coming journalists when it presents The War Project. This program was originally conceived as a companion piece to Ken Burns' documentary about World War II. Wisconsin Public Radio and the Educational Communications Board were looking for promising young journalists to interview people personally affected by World War II, with the goal of presenting their work in multiple media formats. This hour, we'll talk about this project and the program with three of the young people who were involved, as well as the producer and technical director from Wisconsin Public Radio who got this all together. So let me introduce our guests, and we'll get the program started. Actually, before we do that, I'll do something that I always seem to manage to forget to do at the top of the program, and that is to give the phone numbers for those who want to join our discussion, ask questions, make comments, whatever. The toll-free number is 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. In Madison, please use 263-1890. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, first, joining us in the studios of Wisconsin Public Radio, Joe Hartke, who is the producer and technical director for this project at Wisconsin Public Radio. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, John.
And also joining us by phone, and I understand we'll be having each of the students join us one at a time here this morning. We have Justin Weimer, who's a student at Nicolet High School in Glendale, Wisconsin. Justin, good morning.
Morning to you.
Get a little time off of class to be on the radio this morning. That must be pretty good.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Joe, I want to go to you first and have you talk about how this program came to be. Well, let's just start with that and we'll go on from there.
It's a really long story. It was great, actually. I guess Marta.
Well, we only have an hour, so.
Marta Bechtel at the ECB, at the Educational Communications Board, was keen on putting together sort of a companion piece, an educational concept to tie in to Ken Burns' The War when it was announced this spring that the documentary was coming out. So she wanted to initially do a website where students could get information, could get materials, could get the software, could get sound bites, and try to put together their own pieces that could be displayed on this website. She contacted Phil Corvo here at Wisconsin Public Radio, who turned to me and asked if I could help her with this. We got together in a meeting with all these producers for this website, and it was decided after that meeting that there could be a really good opportunity here for a radio program, and we approached teachers across the state to try to find the best students that we could to work on this show. And that's where the students came in. That's where Justin comes in.
And the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah,
definitely.
Justin, talk about how you got involved in this and what you did and how much fun it was.
Well, last year, at the tail end, I was talking to my technology teacher, Ms. Gretton Hart, and she mentioned this project, and I thought it was an amazing idea. Probably at the beginning of the summer, I called Joe, and I believe that Friday, after I called him, we were already working on it, and you know, it's been excellent since. So we just finished, and I think it's been a great experience and very important.
What exactly did you do?
I interviewed me and the other three students. We interviewed each two people. I interviewed a Holocaust survivor and a Milwaukee resident who played baseball for the Army during the war.
And so you collected these interviews, and how involved were you in the process in terms of once you collected the audio of getting it ready to go on the air?
Yeah, each Friday I'd Skype in. I'm from Milwaukee, so everybody else was in Madison.
Justin and I have never met, by the way.
Yeah. So
face to face.
Not yet. Sunday. So I'd Skype in, and we'd talk about different techniques of use in the radio, and creating radio programs. We also talked about how to write for radio. So after we conducted our interviews, we'd write pieces, we'd find our sound bites, and then I'd Skype in, and Joe and I would talk about, you know, what sound bites worked with what I wrote, or whether something was extraneous. And after that, we'd produce it, and I'd email it to him, and here we are.
John, just as a sidebar, if people don't know what Justin means by Skyping in, he's referring to the free telephone software that you can find online to turn your computer and its microphone piece into a telephone. You can call anywhere around the world to other Skype members for free. And Justin and I, that was been Justin and everybody else, really, that has been our chief mode of communication since Justin is, you know, a couple hours away from me.
Technology is wonderful, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Especially when it works. Joe, I understand we have a portion, I believe, of Justin's work that we can play. Do we not?
We do. And Justin, if it's okay to you, with you, I'd like to play an excerpt from your piece with Jack DeGola, where he was talking about the horrors of the Nazi ghetto that he was forced into.
Sure, great piece.
So let's hear that.
In the ghetto, I've witnessed a hanging of 20 people. And they wanted to make sure that everybody saw the hanging. You can imagine how terrible that was to stand there and to not to cry or scream or whatever, because they're going to shoot.
Eventually, Jack, assuming the Christian identity of his deceased neighbor and seven other members of his family, decided to escape through an unhinged fence post. Without knowing if they would ever see each other again, Jack's family went their separate ways.
My mother said, "We'll take a chance," not realizing that the war was going to go on for a long period of time.
And Justin, when I first heard that part of your interview, I thought, wow, what a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
That guy had me on, well, I guess he had me on pins and needles through that entire interview. He was great.
Yeah, that was a fun interview. Very sad, but if you listen to it on Sunday, you'll definitely see that there was a lot of luck involved, and you know, there are many things that could have gone wrong so that he wouldn't be here today. But
Justin, had you ever done anything like this before, or had interest in doing anything like this before?
No, I've never worked with radio. I'm familiar with media, like videos and podcasts, but I never wrote for radio, so this is an entirely new experience, and I'm very excited.
Had you done any journalism work before?
I used to write for the school newspaper in elementary school. That was a while ago.
I think what Justin brings to the team is a real technical savvy. That was the cool thing about working with Justin in particular, is that you know, not only the Skype thing, but Justin has his own software at home, he has his own equipment at home, and he was able to do a lot of his work in that fashion. And that's something that really inspired me. I've been thinking a lot about is, you know, the transportability, if you will, of media, in particular radio, and people to contribute from wherever in the world, and send it all to one place. It was really cool in working with Justin, and, you know, again, just the fact that we have not actually seen each other yet, and we were able to do this wonderful work is just a real kick.
Yeah.
Justin, what are your college plans?
Well, right now I don't really know what I want to be, so that kind of makes it difficult to figure out where I want to go. But I definitely love time-based media, and you know, working with sound bites and making a coherent piece that really speaks to people. So,
I'll give you a hint. I'm 54 and I still don't know what I want to be. So, don't let that stop you.
Hope for me yet.
There you go. What was the most important thing that you came away from this project with, in terms of a feeling or an idea? What was the best thing about this?
Well, I definitely say the best thing was really the importance. You know, the Greatest Generation is quickly aging, and the people's stories from that era might be lost forever. And, you know, one testament was of that was I was scheduled to interview a war veteran, and the morning of my interview, he was rushed to the hospital.
How is he, by the way?
I think he's doing better. But, you know, that's just a testament to the fact that what we are doing was really important, recording these stories and recording the legacy of what happened, because there isn't that much time left.
Let's take a call, and we'll go to Rick in Madison. Rick, good morning.
Good morning to you as well.
Hi, Rick.
An irony of this is that I'm also a Nicolet High School boy, but perhaps a little bit too old to be called a boy. But I've done some oral history work myself, and I wanted to point out how important this kind of thing is, because people can write all the books they want, but to actually hear the stories coming from those who lived through the experiences in their own voices is, I think, so crucial. And so I really salute this project, and I encourage more of it to happen.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank
My
you.
My pleasure. Yeah, good luck.
Well, there's a strong, the tradition of handing down the culture orally goes back thousands of years, and this would be another great example of how that still works today.
Mm-hmm. True. The other thing that I'd like to point out is if listeners are interested in this project, especially young listeners who are curious about being journalists, if they go to the ECB website, it's ecb.org/warletters. They can go ahead and investigate the idea of making their own pieces, much like these students did. The only difference is, you know, we're airing ours on the radio, but they can make theirs and have it posted to the ECB website. So this is more than just a radio program. It's also hopefully the starting point for something a lot bigger for students all across the United States, really.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about this project and listen to some more audio clips from it. The project we're talking about is The War Project. It's a radio program that will be broadcast on Wisconsin Public Radio at 2 o'clock this coming Sunday afternoon. It was produced to coincide with the Ken Burns documentary, The War, about World War II. And the unique feature of this particular radio program is that it was produced by high school students from Wisconsin. And we're getting to meet some of them this hour and also speak with the producer and technical director for the program, Joe Hartke. If you'd like to chime in with a comment or ask a question of our guests, you can call us at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. In Madison, please use 263-1890, 263-1890. You can also reach us via the Internet. The address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. We'll continue our program in just a moment. I'm John Munson, in for Kathleen Dunn this week on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10:21. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Here's what's coming up later on the Ideas Network. Would you like to know more about the presidential candidates beyond the usual sound bites and speeches? After 5 at issue, Ben Marins and his guest discuss the candidates in the race for president. That's after 5 o'clock today on At Issue. This hour we're talking about The War Project, a radio program put together by Wisconsin Public Radio and the Educational Communications Board, featuring student reporters, student journalists, high school students from Wisconsin who interviewed a number of people who had World War II stories to tell, and those interviews have been put together into a radio program that will air this coming Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock here on Wisconsin Public Radio. And we have with us Joe Hartke, who is the producer and technical director for this series for Wisconsin Public Radio, and he's in the studio. Joining us by telephone, we have Justin Weimer from Nicolet High School, who was one of the students who put together the He did one of the segments that is in the program, and we will also be talking with several other students as the hour progresses. We'd like to talk with you as well. Maybe you've got a World War II story of your own you'd like to share, or perhaps a story that your parents told you if you were not involved in World War II. You can call us at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. In Madison, the number to call is 263-1890. Justin, I understand that you need to move on, probably go back to class or something, or maybe you're taking the day off. I'm not sure, but I just wanted to thank you for joining us this morning and really appreciate your work on this project, and I'm glad you had such a good time doing it.
Yeah, I believe Justin's back in class already.
Oh, Justin left already. Okay, well, that'll be a virtual goodbye then. The Joe, one of the things that's been talked a lot about as the World War II generation ages, and now we're starting to get more of their stories out, has been the reticence of so many who were directly involved in World War II to talk about their experiences, perhaps because they were horrific, or maybe for other reasons. But I'm wondering, first of all, did your students encounter difficulty when they were doing the interviews and getting people to talk? And second, a related question, how were the interview subjects identified? How did you pick out who you were going to talk to?
Well, I'll address the second question first. The students really decided what they wanted to do. It, you know, when the War Project got together, it was important for me that I showed them that these are the tools you can use, these are the techniques you can use to make a good radio piece and a good radio interview. But I really wanted the students' own journalistic instincts to prevail when it came to finding content for the program. I wanted them to get something very personal out of the project, and my hope was that it would make better radio pieces, make for better radio pieces that way, and I think it pretty much turned out to be true that that was the case, that the more personal the topic was to the student, the better the story turned out to be. So that was the case with that. As for the greatest generation being hesitant to tell their story or being hesitant to be interviewed, I think early on the students more than the guests really were a little hesitant to make that first step and make those initial contacts. It took a little while for them to warm up to the idea that I have to find a really good guest and what exactly entails a really good radio guest. So that took a little time, and I think during the course of some of the interviews, too, the guests themselves expressed that, contrary to popular belief, that the topic of World War II after the war was over was one that was not really kosher to talk about. It was a little taboo to discuss and bring up because some people are really dealing with that pain yet. You'll hear that during the program. A couple of the guests mentioned that when I got home, I didn't really want to talk about it. And until now. There was one guest that Natalia actually interviewed, that she's going to be joining us in a moment, who actually gave his very first interview about World War II to us. So we're very privileged to get his testimony about the experience.
Well, let's welcome Natalia Hokin, who's a student at Madison East High School and who was one of the participants in this program. Good morning, Natalia.
Good morning.
I'll ask you kind of the same question that I asked Justin earlier. How did you get involved in this project?
Well, I'm, like you said, from Madison East High School, and we have a community discussion list. It's a sort of an email group, and things get sent out that are compelling for the community. There's teachers, students, parents that are involved in that. And I got an email that said, we're looking for people who are interested in journalism, who think that this is something they could do, and it talked about the project, and I thought it was an amazing idea. I called Joe. I was actually at summer camp while I called him, and the week that I came back, we started the project.
I think we've got a caller who has, I think, a great question for you. So let's go.
Cool.
Let's go to the phones.
Okay.
And take a call from Ben in Sturgeon Bay. Ben, good morning.
Good morning. Hope you can hear me. I'm on a cell phone in a rural area, but my question is: are there any lessons about values and morals and so on that the students involved with this project are taking away from the interviews that are being done of the World War II veterans?
I would say the biggest thing as far as morals or lessons learned from the war that I wasn't really aware of, I can talk about that briefly. The one veteran that I interviewed, his name was Don Kopervig. He served in the Battle of the Bulge. He's a very humble man, and I was really honored to interview him. This was the first time he'd ever spoken about his experiences. He's a very proud veteran. He's proud of the fact that he served his country well. He did his duty to our country, but he also he spoke to me about how war is never a good thing. He never wants to see women and children hurt like that. He never wants to see his friends die. I mean, these are things that we all can understand, that war is never a good idea. And I think that was interesting to see the difference between being a proud veteran. That doesn't mean you always support war. And I think that's an important thing that we should remember. Just having pride in your country and being patriotic does not mean that you always support war. And even someone who is proud of having served in war can step back and see that this is not an ideal situation.
Natalia, talk about the interviews that you did. You just mentioned one individual. Who else did you talk to, and what was that about?
I also interviewed a woman named Signe Cooper, who was a joy to speak with. I'm really glad that I met her. She served as a nurse, actually, in India, no less, which is a part of the war that is not often spoken about. And that was just a fascinating interview to see a totally different side of the war, you know, a woman's perspective and service. And there's a lot of funny moments in the story, so I think it's good that I saw very different sides of the war. She also saw a lot of pain and a lot of suffering, but she has an amazing sense of humor and sense of perspective about the whole thing. And I think all the veterans do, too. They understand how horrible the situation was. It really affected them, but they do have a lot of a perspective that they do have a sense of humor about life, and they took away some funny moments, and they realized the humor in it.
John, we actually have a clip from the Signe Cooper piece.
You read my mind.
Yeah.
Let's go there.
And it's a great one where Signe expresses her surprise at the front that she's being sent off to. It's right at the start of the piece. Natalia did a great job. And Natalia, you want to say anything else about this before our listeners hear it?
Just that she is from Madison. She went to nursing school at the university, and I think that's all.
Okay, here it is.
Signe Cooper was an 18-year-old nursing student at UW-Madison when World War II began in 1939.
I guess our reaction was one of concern because we all had, a lot of us had brothers, a lot of us had boyfriends, you know, that we knew were going to get caught up in the service. And I would say it was probably a feeling of, I want to say anxiety. We knew that things were never going to be the same.
Cooper joined the service and was stationed at Fort Belvoir, Virginia in 1943. She received no special training and in 15 months boarded a plane to India.
We didn't know where we were going until we were on the plane. And it wasn't that we said, you know, where's India? We all knew where India was. But it was sort of like if we'd guessed where we were going, that would have been about the last place on earth we'd have guessed.
Signe Cooper, off in India. Really good story, by the way. Really good piece.
Thank you.
I think that's what we call a tease.
Well, you know, when I picked the clips for this program today, I hate to say this to my students, but I kind of did it without them. it was right before the show, about an hour before the program today, that we got on the connection with you, John, where I went and picked out these clips. And I tried to pick ones that had some really good cliffhangers to them because it's, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too soon.
There you go. And is this an hour program?
Yes, hour long.
Okay. And it's 2:00 on Sunday afternoon,
mm-hmm.
here on the Ideas Network. Let's get that promo right out there. let's go to the phones again and take a call from Ethan in Madison. Ethan, good morning.
Hi.
Hi, Ethan.
How are you? How's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
I just wanted to tell you guys, I had a pretty funny story from I'm half German, so my father's German and my mom's from the United States, and I had two grandpas on opposing sides of the war. And my American grandpa would tell me stories about how he'd be, really funny stories about he'd be sitting on a hill across from a German battalion on another hill, and the Americans would always ask, you know, well, why aren't we bombing them? Why aren't we bombing them? And everyone would reply, you know, to the people that just got on to shift with these American troops, they'd say, hey, look, we're not bombing them because they're going to bomb us. Are you kidding me? You know, so there's some real comedy that they used to sell. But my, I noticed something when I went to visit my German grandpa about 2 weeks ago with my father, and he's a real liberal guy. He's an artist, and, you know, he's very open. But when it comes to, I was asking my grandpa about his past, it's like my father really didn't want to hear it, and he didn't want me asking about it, and my grandpa was more than willing to share, but it's almost like he was affected by it when he was a kid, you know? So, like, that generation doesn't want to go into it. Not the generation that actually experienced it, but the generation after is, it seems like I got that feeling, like, wow, you know, if my father was like that.
You know, Ethan, the really cool thing that comes to my mind when I think about this program and others like it, and television programs and movies and, you know, Saving Private Ryan and all that, is whenever we think about these true stories that come back to us, it opens up the dialogue about history. You know, the history that we get in history books is very important and factual and great, and those black and white photographs are nice. But when you get a personal story coming back to you, it hits home in a different way, and it opens up the dialogue about what our grandparents and our parents went through in World War II and Vietnam and Korea and the Gulf War.
You know, it'd almost be interesting to see some kind of programming on the children of the veterans, not just the veterans, because the way it was to me, it was just very interesting to see the fact that my father, who is this artist and very liberal and open, was so kind of opposed to kind of like asking these questions to my grandma and grandpa. You know, they're almost about to pass away, and it's like, you know, here I am trying to divulge this information from them about their past and being polite, and it just seemed like he was very unopened to it, and I just couldn't understand why. And then I realized, you know, through your show right now that, you know, he went through some traumatic things himself, you know, and so it's like I wonder what he went through as a child, not just what they went through as, you know, war veterans.
Natalia, it reminds me of Don Kopervig's brother in the second piece you did.
Yeah, that's right. Don Kopervig said that he never talked to even his brother about the war. And actually, Don left a wife and a very small child when he went off to serve in Europe. So I think it has a huge effect on families that were left behind. And I think that's absolutely true.
Let's take another phone call. This time, let's go to Seth in Dallas, Georgia.
Hello there. How are you today?
Hi, Seth.
Hi. A lot of the people... your screener being the one, you could tell by her voice, hadn't heard of the Bataan Death March. And for the people that don't know what the Bataan Death March was, it took place in the Philippines. It was probably the worst of the Japanese war crimes. And thousands of American soldiers died, and thousands of others died on a march across Philippines. And my father was a survivor of the Bataan Death March. And never really wanted to talk about it, even up until his death. And every time he heard it mentioned, you could see what it, the physical pain that it brought to him. He never forgave the Japanese for what they did. I don't know. I've known several other survivors of the Bataan Death March, and none of them have ever forgiven the Japanese for what was done. Even Japan of today, they still blame the Japanese of today even for what took place then. And in many ways, I don't blame them. The Japanese government to this day has never apologized for the Bataan Death March, and I was wanting to know, did any of the people that your high school students interviewed, were any of them the survivors of the Bataan or any of the other death marches?
None of the stories in the War Project have to do with the Bataan Death March, but I will say that all of the people that we've interviewed, and Natalia, you know, it comes back to Don again, and right at the front of my mind, War is just not, there is just no good side to war. There is a victor and a loser in war typically, and sometimes, you know, like I'm thinking of like Israel and Lebanon last year, it's a draw basically.
Right.
It's just never, everybody walks away from it with scars, everybody walks away from it with trauma, and in the and stories, important stories that people really need to hear and understand and appreciate before we discuss war again, you know, and it will come up again. And Natalia, your story with Don drives home this point very effectively, because Don, I remember when you were editing that piece, you had a really hard time with it because Don had such a slow, stoic delivery in his story. It's almost as if he was reaching really hard to get out one more word.
I think the biggest thing that I got from this is just that war is really a human experience. It's so much more than talking about numbers of troops or miles that we advanced or kinds of artillery that was used. It is really about the human beings that are involved, and that includes the humor that comes, you know, with a bunch of young guys together for a long period of time. It comes also through in the just the absolute terror that was experienced, like the last caller said. And I think that's how we have to look at war. That's what I learned from this, is you can't look at war in bullet points. It really is about the humans that were involved and what they experienced.
And it's never black and white. It's always gray.
Right, right. Yeah. There is no, well, this was good. We moved into Germany and we won. You know, for every mile that we advanced, look how many other human beings were killed. And I think that's what I learned from this.
And one more point on this too, Seth, if I may. Like I said, we don't address that topic in the War Project because none of the people we interviewed had to do with that. But another story that has parallels to that is Jake Pride's excellent piece on Glenn Kumasaka. We have a clip of that, but we can play it later if you'd like, John, where Glenn talks about his experience interned by the Americans as a Japanese American living in Washington State. So, you know, on every side of the war, there are things that are done that people still have bitter feelings about. Glenn, to his credit, holds those feelings back in his piece. And it's really, Jake did a really good job interviewing him.
Yeah.
We're talking about a project that Wisconsin Public Radio did in concert with the Educational Communications Board called The War Project. It's a radio program that will be broadcast on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio this coming Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. It features the work of a number of high school students from Wisconsin, including Natalia Hoken from Madison East High School, and she's with us by phone. And Natalia, I just wanted to ask you, before we move on to our next segment, do you have any interest in journalism beyond this foray into the medium?
You know, I do a lot of performing arts. I do theater, I do show choir, so that was one of the things that drew me to this. It's another form of storytelling, basically. I think I will, this has sort of inspired me to continue with journalism, especially just the idea of getting these primary sources. You can read all the textbooks you want. I know Joe had mentioned this. People can write all the books they want, but again, it's a human experience, and the best way to get these stories is from the humans themselves.
Natalia, thank you for joining us this morning. Appreciate it. Looking forward to hearing the program on Sunday afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Good luck with the play, Natalia.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll welcome another high school student who was working on this program as well, and continue to talk with Joe Hartke, and we'll listen to some more audio from The War Project, which will be broadcast, as I said, at 2 o'clock this coming Sunday afternoon here on the Ideas Network. If you'd like to join our discussion this morning, you can do so by calling us at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. In Madison, the number is 263-1890, 263-1890. You can address your emails to talk@WPR.org. John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn this week on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10:42. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, coming up after 11, Larry Mueller discusses housing renovation, repair, and inspection issues with Ken Adams of Adams Construction in Madison and John Freiberger of Freiberger Associates of Fitchburg. That's after 11 this morning here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour, we're talking about The War Project, a radio program conceived by Wisconsin Public Radio and the Educational Communications Board, which had high school students act as journalists and interview people who had World War II stories to tell. Of course, this was in kind of in concert with the Ken Burns documentary about World War II. And the stories, if you've been listening this hour, are compelling. It's been an interesting process. We invite you to join us if you've got a story you'd like to tell. You can call us at 800-642-1234 or 263-1890. We have Joe Hartke, who was the producer and technical director for this program. He's with us in studio. And then joining us by phone, one of the high school students who was directly involved in the production of this program, Joe Meeker from Wanakee High School in Wanakee, Wisconsin. Joe, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked the other two students that we talked to. How did you find out about this project? How did you get involved with it?
Well, really right as school was ending, like early June, I was told by my guidance counselor here at the school that she had gotten an email saying that someone from WPR was looking for students to produce pieces for radio. And at that point, I didn't know anything about the project, but, you know, my first thought was, oh, cool, be on the radio. You know, that sounds great. So I learned a little more about it. I ended up calling Joe and talking to him and figuring out what exactly the product was, you know, what it would entail, and, you know, the rest is history. From there, just started doing stories and doing radio work.
And who did you interview? What were their stories?
I interviewed three people for two separate stories. The first one was a veteran who now lives in Lodi, born in Lodi, too, actually, named Howard Nelson. He was a member of the 3rd Infantry Division, and he specialized in amphibious landings. He was wounded on his tour of duty at the Battle of Anzio Beachhead.
No, go ahead.
And the second story was for the 416th Bombing Group that I learned about later. At first we thought that it would be a Wisconsin-based story, but it turns out that actually they were based in Missouri. And they were a bombing group that did runs all over Europe, and the reason it came to our attention was because they were having one of their last reunions this past summer. So we learned about that, and we decided to do a story about them. It ended up being less about the reunion and more about just being a bomber pilot in the 416th over Europe during World War II.
Joe, I assume that we've got some audio Joe Hartke. Now I've got two Joes on this interview.
That's right.
I'm already confused.
It was a frequent problem during the process.
Not only that, but there were a lot of J's in the room. Jake, Justin, Joe. Natalia was the only. Yeah, never mind.
I'm glad to hear I'm not the only one with confusion issues. But Joe Hartke, can we hear a piece of Joe Meeker's work, please?
Absolutely. And Joe, I'd like to play an excerpt from your piece on Howard Nelson, in particular the very charming moment where he talks about his very slippery experience in trying to go AWOL.
Ah, yes.
So this is really good, and this is Joe Meeker's fine work. Here it is.
Thanks to the help of the base's chef, one of the only people in the base actually allowed to leave, Nelson and his compatriots crisscrossed the country, going mostly by train.
And every night the train would stop, the MPs would look for guys that would go AWOL. And we'd watch when they'd go in one end of the car, we'd go out the other end. Well, that's, I don't know how many cities we did that, so people I'm sure know what was going on.
However, Nelson's luck was not unlimited. After just a few weeks of being on the run, Nelson was caught by a pair of MPs.
And here was a 3rd Division, big 3rd Division truck. Picked us all up, and it was, I don't know how many guys were the same way we were. They got in a boat truck and took us back to camp. Well, they had already packed up.
Thanks to that helpful bit of serendipity, Nelson went unpunished, and, along with the rest of the 3rd Division, was placed on a ship heading towards an unknown location.
We got on a ship and didn't know until we got on a ship that we were going to land in Africa.
And the funny thing is from that start, he went on to become quite the war hero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
bronze stars, purple hearts, you know, very decorated.
So like we were talking about with Natalia earlier, it's never black and white. It's always gray. You know, even the guys that are like the super gung-ho, I am a war hero, I'm going to save your life, at one point or another was like, you know, I'd really just like to go and see my girlfriend. And how am I going to do that, you know? So it's, you know, it's such a great human story, and I'm glad Joe got it for us. And was he trying to get to his girlfriend, or was that his friend?
I think that they both had girlfriends, because he was from the Madison area, and of course, he was actually stationed in California. So his friend had a girlfriend in St. Paul, and he had a girlfriend in Madison, so that's just where they decided to head.
Let's take a call from Valerie in Milwaukee. Valerie, good morning.
Just a minute, please. Hi.
Hi, Valerie.
I just got another call when you called, or when you called, put me on. All I was going to ask about was my father, who is going to be 90 very shortly, was in World War II, and he has quite a few interesting stories, and I was wondering if there was anything in the future where he could be interviewed and some of the stories could be taken down.
I'm glad you brought that up, Valerie. The if you go to ecb.org/war letters, the Educational Communications Board, who is a very important part of getting this program on the air, are running a program where students from all over the state, and I guess it doesn't even have to be students really, can use the tools on the website to interview World War II veterans or any veteran and return that piece to the ECB for them to post online for everyone to hear, to see, to read.
Okay, so that would be great. So it's ecb.org/war letters. War letters. All righty. Well, I will do that, and I would just love to have my father be able to tell some of these stories and have them put down. I've actually jotted some of them down myself, but and he was wounded. He was in the infantry, and he was wounded in France.
While we're providing you the opportunity to do this, you know, it's for the general audience out there who may not be interested in working with the ECB website and something really formal like that. You know, it's just great to take down the stories in any way that you can. You know, record it onto cassette for your grandchildren. Write it down in a book. You know, see if they would be willing to, you know, write a journal about their experience. It's just, Joe, I think you'll agree with me, it's just such valuable information not to have.
I think it's very important.
Yeah, it's really true. In fact, one of the big parts of my second interview was the guy. You know, he talks about the importance of keeping the history alive. He talks about sometimes he feels that, you know, the work he did during World War II, his tour of duty, sometimes he feels like that history is going away, and, you know, it's so important that it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a call now from Joseph in La Crosse. Joseph, good morning.
Oh,
thanks
no.
for joining us.
Another Joe.
I'll try to keep it as Joseph, just not to confuse people here. First, let me say, Joe Hardkey, way to go.
Oh, thanks.
Absolutely important to keep doing stuff like this. And I think there's a broader context that should not be missed here. This is an opportunity for kids not just to connect with the voices of their past, but what is very clear, abundantly clear, especially through Joe and Natalia, and I'm sure the rest of them, to find their own voices as well. And I got to tell you, Joe and Natalia, I don't care what you do, but do something, because the two of you are amazing. I didn't hear the whole show, but I absolutely want to pass that on. I've been a teacher for more than 20 years, and it's so incredible to hear students with these voices, to see people getting involved, and to change their perspective and the perspective of the people who will listen to this piece on Sunday at 2:00. It's a big deal. It's not just a little thing. The ECB, Joe Hardkey, you guys have done something really amazing, and I hope it keeps going. And I hope this just serves as a springboard for more to come, because public radio really deserves accolades for stuff like this. I mean, don't get me wrong, the rest of the stuff you guys do is wonderful. This is really important. This is about getting kids involved. And that's what you guys did in an amazing way.
Well, thank you for the thumbs up. But I don't want to take too much credit here. I you know, they approached me with an idea. I thought it was a cool idea. I opened up the door, and all these students came in. And you know, we had the ball, but we handed it off to Joe and Natalia and Jake and Justin. And they ran with it for miles. I mean, the real work was done by the students. They did 95% of the work. I just stood there and said, "That sounds good."
and I totally appreciate that. But I got to tell you, there's 100 students behind every door, and not everybody's opening the door for them, and that's something that you guys did, and that should not go unremarked as well. But I think you're absolutely correct. I think there are students behind every door, and we as adults and we as educators and we as citizens and members of this community need to open those doors for these kids, and that's what you guys did.
I'm touched. You know, thank you.
Way to go.
Somebody needs to give Joseph and LaCrosse's contact info to Jennifer Dargan so that we can bring him back on at the next pledge drive. Joseph and LaCrosse, thank you so much for the props that you gave us this morning, and let's move on to Andy in Milwaukee.
Hello, Andy.
Hello?
Andy, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, thank you. It was a great, great show. I would just like to add one thing, and one of you guys has a couple of times pointed out the experiences of people in the war make it clear that it's gray, that there is no black and white, and you know, following on the heels of that, Ethan was talking about his grandfathers on both sides of the war and how the Germans of the subsequent generation were so reluctant to talk about that experience. The reason why that is, and I have a great deal of experience, I have a similar situation with this, is because they were tricked. They were manipulated and lied to in much the same way that the Japanese were, and let's face it, that we were. And when we talk about what's in the history books and how it's great and factual, well, we have to be careful about that. You could read something, for example, like Saving Private Power by Michael Zazima, and that's going to show you a very different picture. How many of us, regardless of when we grew up, knew that GM sued the U.S. government for bombing the factories they owned that made German armaments? I mean, there's a whole part of this that's never been told, and the personal anecdotes that war is hell and it's a meaningless thing where people are used as cannon fodder for war profiteers really gets lost when films like Saving Private Ryan only reinforce the John Wayne, and I know that maybe it's not John Wayne, but in the end, it's not that far different. And
John Wayne, who never actually served in the military.
Correct. And in Wisconsin history, there's a really great resource about the World War just before that. It's called No Peace Without Victor, the Victor Berger story. And this shows you something that's very close to home and very different from what we hear in our history books. And that's part of the reason why people on, you know, their personal stories, and I have a long one that I know the show's almost over here. I won't tell you about.
Yeah,
so
I'd like to get to another caller, so let's make it brief.
Okay, well, it's just that my uncle was taken out of a seminary because he had language skills and put into a military intelligence unit. And when he refused to do what they wanted him to do, they gave him a rifle, put him in the infantry, and he died a few days later in the Battle of the Bulge because he was from this German pacifist tradition. And these stories are not in the public domain. They're just not known.
One thing I'd just like to chime in there, Andy, is Jake Pride, the reporter who unfortunately could not be with us this morning because of classes, does a piece on a conscientious objector during the war project. And it's something that really impressed me with all the students is that they covered the gamut of the World War II experience, including people who followed their heart and said, I can't participate in this. It's just not in my DNA. Like all throughout this program, we were talking about it. World War II is a lot more nuanced and a lot more complex than even I thought going into this. And Jake's story is further proof of that. And what you're talking about, again, proof of that.
We're almost out of time. I'd like to try and sneak one more phone call in here. Megan from Canton, Minnesota. Megan, welcome, and please be succinct.
Okay, I'll be as fast as I can. Thank you for doing this, first of all. I really appreciate it. I come from a military family, and I've actually bucked the tradition and have become a historian. And my family fought all over the globe during World War II, and they've actually been in the military since before the Civil War. And I have, you know, stories that I've been saving from them from all over, both the very tragic and the very comedic. My great-uncle Blondie, Marion, he got a posthumous Medal of Honor for during the Battle of Bulge. Him and his group, he was a forward observer, Marine. They found some nuns hiding some orphans, and the nuns told them that there were Jewish children in with these orphans that the families had put into the orphanage to protect them. So my uncle Blondie drew the Germans away, and every man died in his troop, drawing the Germans away from these children. And Uncle Blondie was the last one to die, and he said, when the Americans came, he looked at them and he said, "Are you American?" And they said, "Yes," and he said, "Go get the children," and he died.
Wow.
And
wow.
That is horribly tragic. And at the same time, I've got an extremely comedic story. My grandfather...
Well, I'd like to let you tell it, but we're really out of time.
I know.
Sorry. I wish we had another hour to do this. Clearly, we could use it.
There are a lot of people with a lot of stories out there.
Well, yeah. And Joe Meeker, thanks for taking time to spend with us and talk about your experiences in this project. Appreciate your work and your time this morning.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
And
thanks
Joe Hartke, kudos to you, apparently, in spite of your modesty. This
kudos to the students.
There you go. Kudos to everybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for taking time out of what I know is a busy day for you to spend this hour with us this morning.
No problem.
Appreciate it. Joe Hartke is a producer and technical director at Wisconsin Public Radio and apparently stood in the background while all the work was being done on the war project. I'm kidding, Joe. Thanks to everyone who had something to do with producing this hour. I'm John Munson. In for Kathleen Dunn, you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.